Practicing yoga with half open eyes. He could see her with his lotus-like eyes, and when he heard, the sweet tinkling of her bangles, he opened his eyes slightly more and could see that she was just nearby. Her part is said that yogis always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within their hearts. Dhyana Vasita Yagyatena Manasapa Santi Yamdharina. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always observed by yogis who practice controlling their the venomous senses. As recommended in Bhagavad Gita, yogis should practice Samprakshya Nasikagra, keeping their eyes half open. If the eyes are closed completely, there will be a tendency to sleep. So-called yogis sometimes practice a fashionable form of yoga by closing their eyes and meditating, but we have actually seen such so-called yogis sleeping and snoring while meditating. This is not the practice of yoga. To actually practice yoga, one should keep his eyes half open and gaze at the tip of his nose. Although Agnindra, the son of Priyavrata, was practicing mystic yoga and trying to control his senses, the tinkling sound of Purvachiti's ankle bells disturbed his practice. Yoga, Indra, Sanyamaha, actual yoga practice means controlling the senses. One has practiced mystic yoga not to control the senses, but the sense control of a devotee who fully engages in the service of the Lord with his purified senses can never be disturbed. Srila Prabodha Nanda Saraswati therefore stated, Durdantendriya Kala Sarpa Patali Prokata Damasatayate. The practice of yoga is undoubtedly good because it controls the senses, which are like venomous serpents. When one engages in devotional service, however, completely avoid all the activities of the senses in the service of the Lord, the venomous quality of the senses is completely nullified. And it's explained that the serpent is to be feared because of its poisonous fangs, but if those fangs are broken, the serpent, although it seems fearsome, is not at all dangerous. Devotees, therefore, may see hundreds and thousands of beautiful women with fascinating bodily movements and gestures, but not be allured, whereas such women will make ordinary yogis fall. Even the advanced yogi Vishwamitra broke his mystic practice to unite with Menaka and the Gurushala known as Sukuntala. The practice of mystic yoga, therefore, is not sufficiently strong to control the senses. Another example is Prince Agnindra, whose attention was drawn by the Mughusapura Chitti, the Apsara, simply because he heard the tinkling of ankle bells. In the same way that Vishwamitra Muni was attracted by the tinkling bangles of Menaka. Prince Agnindra, upon hearing the tinkling bangles of Purvachiti, immediately opened his eyes to see her beautiful moves as she walked. The prince was also very handsome. As describing her in, his eyes were like the buds of lotus flowers. He opened his lotus-like eyes. And you can really see that the Apsara was present by his side. As I can understand King Agnindra's desire, the first and foremost powerful creator being of the universe, Lord Brahma selected the best of the dancing girls in his assembly, whose name was Purvachiti, sent her to the king. The Apsara sent by Lord Brahma began strolling in a beautiful park of the palace, a place where the king was meditating and worshiping. The park was beautiful because of its dense green foliage and golden creepers. There were pairs of various birds like peacocks and a lake of ducks and swans, all vibrating very sweet sounds. Thus the park was magnificently beautiful because of the foliage, clear water, lotus flowers, and the sweet singing of various kinds of birds. As Purvachiti passed by on the road in a very beautiful style and mood of her own, the pleasing ankle ornaments on her ankles twinkled with her every step. Although Prince Agnindra was controlling his senses, practicing yoga with half-opened eyes, he could see her with lotus-like eyes, and when he heard the sweet twinkling of her bangles, he opened his eyes slightly more and could see that she was just nearby. So this is just a narration of how Agnindra gets the Apsara as his wife. We see that this was the blessing of Lord Brahma himself. Just as Brahma plays an instrumental role in relation to Swayambhuva, since he is his creator, and he's also related to the story of Dhruva and Priyavrata, etc. So he is also involved in Agnindra. So the dynasty is influenced by Lord Brahma. He takes a personal interest in the affairs of the dynasty of Manu. And therefore he fulfilled his desire. His desire was to get a wife so he could beget children. So the children could do the strata rites, so he could go to Pitraloka. So he was given a very qualified person. The apsaras are actually superior to the human beings. Human beings live on Bhumandala, and the apsaras live in the higher planetary systems. So technically they are higher beings. Though we see that in general, apsaras and gandharvas, etc., are very fond of enjoying heavenly pleasures. So, anyway, this apsara was sent by Brahma as the wife of Agnigra, so therefore it also indicates he was quite qualified, since he got a apsara as his wife, chosen by Brahma himself. And here is described also the situation of Agnidra. Agnidra was actually meditating in this place at the time. Previously it said he was undergoing austerities in order to get a son, etc. So his austerity consisted of going to a solitary place and meditating. So it says here that he was actually samadhi yogena, his eyes were half closed, and he was in practicing yoga, meditation and yoga at the time. And then when the apsara approached, then he opened his eyes and he could see this apsara before him. So Prabhupada has commented how the yogis get disturbed by sense gratification. Technically, of course, Agnidra was not a yogi, he was a kshatriya, so he didn't dedicate his life to yoga when he was practicing for a short time for this particular purpose of getting a wife and a child. So it also, of course, indicates that to some degree he was qualified, because one, to do yoga, one has to have qualification. Generally we see that one has to be very sattvic to undergo the yoga process. But we also see that some of the great kings also practiced yoga and concentrated their minds, etc. So this is the practice of Agnidra. So as in the case of Vishvamitra, who was disturbed and fell from his position, so we see that Agnidra also was disturbed by the presence of this woman, so he could not continually concentrate. Of course, his desire was not liberation, his desire was to have a family, so it is quite proper that he would open his eyes and become attracted to the woman, since that was his desire, and it was Brahma's intention to supply him with a good wife. So, he cannot really be criticized for this, because his intention was not particularly to practice samadhi in order to get liberation, but rather he was doing this austerity in order to fulfill his material desires. Yes, that was natural then, that when he heard the tinkling of the ankle bells of the apsara, then he would open his eyes and become attracted to her. In any case, Prabhupada has shown the difference between yoga and bhakti. So we have examples here of how great yogis like Vishvamitra became attracted, in spite of the fact that they had reached a very, very high level of advancement in the yoga process. They became attracted again to sense gratification. Then we have examples like Haridas Thakur, who could not be disturbed at all because of his absorption in chanting the name of Krishna and worshipping the Supreme Lord. So the difference is that the process of bhakti depends upon attraction to the Supreme Lord. The success of yoga depends upon stopping the activities of the senses. And of course, the attractive feature of all of why one should stop the senses is that one will realize Brahman. One will become very peaceful. So that is the reward from controlling the senses, stopping the senses. So what is the difference? In both processes we have a higher taste. We have a higher taste for Brahman in the yoga process, which will impel him to control the senses. And in bhakti we have realization of Bhagavan and service to Bhagavan and the bliss that results from that as the impetus for controlling the senses, etc. in bhakti. So the difference, one difference is the fact that in the process of yoga, there is an attempt to stop the senses. And in the process of bhakti, we do not stop the senses, but we engage the senses in service of the Lord. So, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what will repression accomplish? To try to stop the senses will be very difficult because they are by nature very active. So one can stop them from some time, but there's always the danger that they will become active again. So that is one of the problems that is met by persons like Vishwamitra and doing yoga. They control their senses for some time, and then again, with some temptation, they become active. In the process of bhakti, the senses are already active. So in that sense, there's no repression in that sense. However, though the senses are active, they are concentrated upon the Supreme Lord. And the purpose of the senses is not to enjoy with the senses, but to give enjoyment to the Supreme Lord. So the repressive aspect is not there. The other difference, of course, is that the reward we get from yoga and jnana is Brahman, which is spiritual, and it is also blissful. But in comparison to the goal of bhakti, which is realization of Bhagavan, in realization of Bhagavan, the bliss is much greater. So therefore, the impetus to continue that process of bhakti is much more than in the yoga process. So therefore, one could follow it easier in the yoga process. And in the bhakti process, attraction to the Lord and the bliss of the relationship with the Lord is much higher. So one will not be so much deviated in the process of bhakti. In this way, the process of bhakti is a better assurance of succeeding than the process of jnana or yoga, which depend upon stopping the senses and attraction to a lesser spiritual entity, that is Brahman. So the case of Indra here is that he was doing this yoga process. And of course, we cannot expect him to be perfect because he was a king. He wasn't a yogi as such. And he did have desire as a result of this austerity to get a wife. So therefore, though he could attain some success, nevertheless, he was always ready to give up the process in order to attain a wife and get children, because that was his duty as a king. So therefore, very easily, he gave up his yoga practice and he opened his eyes and became attracted to that apsara. So that is what is described here, how he met the apsara, etc. This, of course, is also under the arrangement of Lord Brahma. This is the plan of Lord Brahma anyway, and it is difficult to thwart his plans. So in the first verse here, it is described in text 3 how Brahma is called Bhagavan Adi Purusha. So he knows the mind of Agnindra, he knows his desires, and he also knows how to fulfill his desire, what is the suitable way of doing so. So everything is rather predictable because Brahma himself has laid out a particular plan for the future of Ahindra. Just as Brahma is so intelligent that he can create all the living entities and all the planetary systems for the jivas in the material world, he can make all sorts of arrangements for those he gives blessings to. So it is his arrangement that Agnidra meet and marry the Apsara. So there's nothing astonishing in the fact that King Agnidra submitted to the charms of this Apsara. Well, obviously Vishnu is supreme, so his knowledge is more. We see even yogis have some knowledge, and past, present, future, to some degree, they can do that. But obviously it's not to the extent that the Supreme Lord can do that. Ultimately, all powers are bestowed by the Supreme Lord. So the siddhis you can get through yoga practice and knowing past, present, future, that is ultimately up to the Supreme Lord. So any great yogi is, who has powers is ultimately got those powers by the mercy of the Lord. And similarly, Brahma is a jiva also, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, gets certain powers for creation, etc. So his knowledge is very, very great. But it is all dependent on the Supreme Lord again. So the Supreme Lord Vishnu, of course, has more knowledge. He's the source of all other knowledge. Shiva, of course, also is all-knowledgeable because he's an aspect of the Supreme Lord, but he will manifest significantly less because he plays the role of a covered being. It's under his power.
Revealing is restricted or everything will be revealed to Brahma by Vishnu?
Hmm?
The revealing of the thinking of the jivas is restricted.
What extent Brahma is revealed of the
jivas? It's up to the Lord, whatever is necessary for his duties as far as creation of the universe and management of the universe, he'll give that knowledge. But he's limited. He has a limited lifespan. He has a material body. So he's not got the same knowledge as the Supreme Lord. Similarly, even the jiva in the spiritual world, yes, he is Satchitananda, etc. So he has knowledge. He never have the same degree of knowledge as the Supreme Lord because the Supreme Lord is independent. Everyone else is dependent upon him. Some devotees practice bhakti yoga to come to the opposite sex, even though they. It's mentioned that Bhakti Yoga is safer than Gyan or Mystic Yoga. In our preaching, devotees have to be in situations where it's common conflict with members of opposite sex, and then there always be fall down. Well, we're talking here of advanced personalities. So, if one is on a lower level, then one is more subject to the material temptations. That is so for yoga also. So, if one's not an advanced yogi, then he is also more likely to fall from his position. So in devotion also, the possibility is going to be there more for those who are in a lower position. Those who are in a very high position, if they're in prema, there's no question they'll fall down at all. They cannot fall. It is impossible because the Lord has empowered them not to. Those in bhava are almost at that stage, but they could fall. As we see, Bharat became attracted to a deer, which was a fall down because he stopped worshipping the Lord. And so it is possible in bhava, but it's not possible in prema. An advanced yogi, on the other hand, he can fall from his position. If he gets liberation and gives up his body and emerges in Brahman, of course, there's no possibility of fall down there because he doesn't have a material body anymore. But if he's in the material world, right, and he's a jiva mukta, then there is some possibility to fall down from that position, you know, as long as he has the material body. Well, if they've attained that state where they've given up the body and they merged in the Lord, then they don't come back from that state. If they're a Jivan Mukta and they attain Brahman realization, they still have a material body, they can fall from that position.
Even though they achieve the Brahman realization, they merge the Brahman yogi.
If they have given up their material body and they merged in, then they don't. That's an eternal position.
So where do they go?
They're in Brahman, they stay there.
When the Brahman realization means they get into Brahman yogi. Brahman realization means ultimately they merge into Brahman yogi.
Yeah. So if we have a material body and we attain Brahman realization, that's a little different because they haven't given up their material body. So those persons who attain that perfection can fall from that position.
What stage devotee senses become so free from danger?
What's that?
What stage devotee senses become so free from danger?
Prema.
Impersonalist?
No. If one does mixed Gyanamis or Bhakti, then one can go to the Vaikuntha and get Shantarasa. If one goes gives Jnana, impersonal Jnana, then one simply merges in Brahman. That's less than Shantarasa. Rasa means a relationship with the Lord. In Brahman, there's no relationship because we don't see the difference between the Jiva and the Lord. There's no possibility of being a relationship with the Lord at all. So Shantarasa is a relationship with the Lord. We see difference between Jiva and Lord, but it is minimal.
Can you give some examples, like some impersonalist yogis that is a very high level of celibacy? They are able to restrict their senses and behavior all strictly.
Mm-hmm.
We find some Vishwamitra here and there, most of the yogis, you see the Haridwar, how yogis are attacking.
Yeah, that is the practice they follow. But of course, we don't know. We cannot see there at that particular time how many, what is the percentage of fall down or perfection or whatever. And of course, what is their level again that we cannot also judge. They are doing certain austerities, yes, but what is their daily practice? We don't observe that. We have no idea. No way of confirming their actual practice in their position.
What's
that?
Bhava stays. The person, one in Bhava stays, Bhava.
Bhava, yeah.
They come back.
Well, they can fall from that position.
But prema, they will
not. No.
But here, the Mahaprabhu is saying that if I chant Hare Krishna, there is no tears.
Yeah, we're not at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Bhava. There's Sattvika Bhavas and Bhava stage also. Devotees, there's no rule. It is free from rules. One can do anything.
Garantra Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Kishorelal Maharaj ki
jai.
Jivan Krishna ji Bhakti Rasa Chola Prabhupada ki
jai.
I hope Pramanandi.
Thank you. ಕತ್ರಿ ಎಲ್ಲ அவங்களுக்கு கட் பண்ணது கேட்டாங்க.
இங்கே வச்சுட்டு அவங்களுக்கு
மறந்துட்டாங்க.